On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I guess you're wondering why I've called you all together here today. You thought it was a reading of the will. I know, that's the only way I could get you here. And we are serving finger sandwiches, so that will happen. And the first two drinks are free, they're on me. That will also happen. But I've also gathered here, all you people, to do a show for you. I'm going to entertain you. I'm going to juggle. And at some point during the performance, I'll be handing out gift cards to various merchants in the nearby area. And that's all for you. So thanks for clicking. Have a good day.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Cut that out. You in the back, cut that out. Don't touch people. Just sit there. Stop that. All right, that'll be enough for today. Let's cut some cheese on that one. Is that the right phrase? Let's cut some cheese on that one? I don't think it is right. How are you today? How's everything? My name is Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. You're probably familiar with me. You've seen my poster in post offices all across the country. I never pay attention to those things. They have wanted posters in a post office. What is this, the Wild West? What am I supposed to do? Get a lasso and gather my wagons together in a circle? What the hell do you want me to do? Don't we have law enforcement for that purpose? What am I supposed to do? Stop putting a burden on me. I like Amber Alerts because they actually work, if your name is Amber. This is ridiculous. Why are you even here? You have nothing better to do. Seriously, I don't want to embarrass you, but you have nothing better to do than sit here and listen to this crap. I guess you don't, but I have nothing better to do than to do this for you. I also make a living off of it, but that's besides the point. I'm not talking about that. Are you ready to get things started? Are you? Okay. Let's do it. A friend of mine went on an online dating app to meet a girl. And first of all, let me qualify this by saying a friend of mine is in quotes. It always is. It's someone that I know who considers me to be a friend of theirs. I'm no friend to this person. As a matter of fact, I avoid his phone calls. I don't know why, I'm just not in the mood sometimes. You ever do that? Like, you have someone that you really know, and they're okay people. I mean, they walk the planet just like you do, and they're all right, what the hell? Every once in a while, they'll call you, and you reject the phone call from your so-called friend. And why do you reject it? I don't have time for this crap right now. You really say that to yourself. Look, he's a nice guy, he's a good friend, I suppose, whatever the meaning of that is on Google, but or Wikipedia. You remember when there were dictionaries? Oh, don't go that far back, Moses. Yeah, anyway, friend, you know, we call each other friends passively, but when the phone call comes through, it's like, can't you text me? Just get to the point and leave me alone. I just don't feel like talking to you. I don't feel like hearing all about your life because you're a nice guy, but I just don't care. I mean, just seriously, don't really care at all. It's funny, when we talk to our friends on the phone, Remember the phone? When we talk to our friends on the phone, we really only talk to them when we have nothing else to do. If you're busy doing something, you try to fit in that little line. Look, I got to run. I got an appointment. Oh, I'm getting another call. Another call's coming in. I got to run. Good talking to you. Some other day. You're not that important. So just go somewhere. Go have your life. Stop bothering me. I've got other things to do. You don't say that. You know, you make up excuses because you don't want to hurt your friend. Not that much. So this guy is telling me that he met this girl online, and my immediate reaction was, "And so, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do you want firecrackers to come out of my ass? What do you want? Wait a minute, I forgot. I'm supposed to say, really, that's interesting. Tell me more. I think that's the line I'm supposed to use. Anyway." Do you ever go on one of those online dating? It's been a long time for me. A long, long, long time. I love the phrase that people, what do you like? I like long walks on the beach. Seriously. No, you don't. Nobody likes long walks on the beach. People take long walks on the beach because they forgot that they're walking on the beach, and now it became a long walk. No one ever has said, what do you like? What do you like to do? I like short walks on the beach. No one likes short walks because it's not enough. It's not enough to be interesting. You got to take long walks on the beach to the point where you have no idea where the hell you are. Well, I started out in Encino, California. Seem to be somewhere in Nevada. But they don't have beaches in Nevada. I know. That's how long this beach walk is. And eventually, if you take long walks along the beach, you're going to come upon a beached whale. There's no question about it. So what's like more worth reporting? The fact that you just walked along the beach or that you actually came across a beached whale? I would say I like long walks on the beach with beached whales. Now that sounds like you're dating fat people. That doesn't work. Yeah. I don't know. People say things in order to be attractive to other people on purpose. Yeah. Tell me about your finest quality. Well, I'm a people person. I'm sorry. We have nothing in common then. You're a people person? What the hell does that mean? I like people. All right, we're from different planets because I don't. So let's not hook up. Unless your boob size is to my liking, we got nothing to talk about here. Superficial, man. This world is a superficial world. That's how we live. I mean, it's just what we do. Everything's superficial. Everything is. We only pay attention to people that look really sexy. We turn our heads. Our heads turn. Not the body, just the head. If you turn your whole body, you're really gawking. You're really being disgusting. You're being superficial if you turn your entire body when somebody attractive goes walking by. That's too much. That'll land you up in jail or down at the human resources office, giving you some type of a lesson about how to respect other people in the workplace. Now, we just turn our heads. That's all you really need to do. We just want to look. We just want to look. But we do that because we find attractive people to be worth looking at. It's interesting, man. It really is. It is. We don't, Can you describe yourself? Yeah, I'm ugly and just really disgusting. Ooh, wow. Let's meet tomorrow. It just doesn't work like that. Yeah, I have drool coming out of my mouth and little snots on my lip and I don't know. I just I'm fairly disfigured in the sense that I have openings on my face where they shouldn't be, and I'm rather disgusted about everything, and I look disgusting, and I wear plaids with stripes on a regular basis, and I just I'm crusty. I'm a crusty person, and okay. But I like long walks on the beach. Ooh, you like long walks on the beach. Ooh, that's different. Did you ever come across a beached whale? Ooh. Did you ever go on a date or talk to somebody, like even a quote-unquote friend again, and you go to a restaurant and you're sitting there and you're eating together? It's interesting because as human beings, we find it to be the greatest social interaction is while we're eating, while we're shoving food in our mouths and chewing it like some type of a churning station. That's what we find to be comfortable for us to interact while we're both chewing our food. It's an odd social interaction. I know this girl who, when she eats in a social atmosphere like a restaurant, she'll take her fork and stab her food in order to bring it into her mouth. This is how we eat. This is what we do. So she'll stab the piece of meat on the end of the fork. She'll bring it up close to her mouth, but as she never stops talking, which is usually the case, instead of putting the food in her mouth with the piece of meat at the end of the fork, she will talk with her hands, and the piece of meat at the end of the fork, she will use it as a tool of exaggeration while she's talking. So I'm watching this little piece of meat at the end of the fork move around like she's leading an orchestra and she's got something at the end of her baton. It's just, don't talk to me while you're flailing a piece of meat in front of my face at the end of your fork. Put the damn piece of meat in your mouth, shut the hell up, chew the damn thing like a cow with six stomachs. I think they have six stomachs, could be eight, could be 20, I have no idea. I know cows have more than one stomach. I don't see the point. I'm sure one stomach would suffice, but for some reason, a cow's got to have a couple of stomachs. I know some people with a couple of stomachs, but it wasn't on purpose. A couple of stomachs never really is. Be interesting if a cow had a stomach ache, and you'd have to say, really, that sounds horrible. Which one? Oh, the left stomach. It's bothering me today. Why don't cows like long walks on the beach? They've got four legs. They're capable of doing it. I only have two, and I don't like long walks on the beach. A cow's got four legs, but you never see a cow on the beach for some reason. Although if you see a beached whale, sometimes you'll see a cow standing over it, wondering what the hell that is. Dating is an odd thing. I haven't done it in a long time, but it's very, very odd. You usually meet somebody and you find them somewhat attractive and interesting, and by the third date, you say to yourself, what the hell did I get myself into? Now I've got to let somebody down who I hardly know, because this is not going to work out. There's no future. We're not going to be taking any kind of walk on the beach. So what am I doing? Now I've got to figure a way to let this person down gently, because decent person, I don't want to hurt that person's feelings, but this is going nowhere. I thought it was, but now it's not. I gave it a chance. I thought it could work out, but it's not. Now it's just a waste of my damn time. How do I let the other person down gently? And that becomes the focus of a relationship that you don't even want to have. Thank you. By the way, the music in the background, just in case you're interested, I know you're not. I know you find nothing interesting whatsoever. The music is a performer, Ray Bryant. He has a jazz combo band, and that song was Little Susie. Now, oddly enough, that song was not released today. That goes way back. That's like 40, 50 years old, something like that. I don't know exactly how old it is, but it's older than you are for sure. I don't know how old you are, but I know for sure things are older than that in your world. There was a period of time where I really resented young people. I used to call them little shits affectionately. Just like, who the hell do you think you are to be so young and vibrant? I mean, here I am. I don't even want to bend down and pick up change off the street, which I used to do with great zeal. Great Zeal was the name of my friend, by the way. It was Greg Zeal, G-R-E-G, Zeal, Z-E-A-L. Nice guy. I had to let him down because I really thought he was a pain in the ass, and I didn't want to, you know, and take his phone calls anymore. Yeah, I used to bend down, pick things up. I used to squat. Not a lot, but I tried to. And then there's these young people walking in front of me acting so damn happy. You have no idea what's in the future for you. You have no idea. I remember when I was like 20 years old. I do remember it. It was a sunny day. And I remember thinking, I'm invincible. Nothing can hurt me. And then, like, I became 21, and I realized everything can hurt me, including the girls that are turning me down because the relationship is just not working out. You come up with all these crazy excuses to get out of things, man. See, we lie because we don't want to hurt people. That's really what... There's two reasons for lying. You're such a nice, kind person. You just don't want to hurt anybody else. So you have to lie to them. You got to make up these excuses that are preposterous, but they serve a purpose. That kind of lying is kind of okay, I think. I mean, I'm not a Catholic, Christian kind of organized religion kind of person. I've never been to confession. I've confessed things, but not to somebody in a box who I don't know. So I don't know what that's like to lie. I think you have to be forgiven for that. Oh, I'm not into that. I'm not into that at all. You know who's never been in a confession box? Donald Trump. You know who's never been in a church unless he had to go because somebody died? Donald Trump. You know who's never confessed to anything? Donald Trump. You know who's never admitted that he made a mistake? Donald Trump. Well, let's see. Who can we pick as a president? How about the guy that we can't stand? Oh, yeah, good idea. That's impressive. It's not that Donald Trump is a gigantic asshole. It's not that, because he is. It's the gigantic assholes that voted for him thinking that this thing was going to work out. I'm sorry, did I just call you something? Did I just put you down? It's just a political statement. Don't get crazy about it. It's very, very 2020s to express your political view and to alienate yourself into a corner and dislike the other people. But who taught me that? Donald Trump. Donald taught me that if somebody disagrees with you, then you verbally execute them through tweets or even out loud in speeches to the whole country. You tell everybody who you hate and who you're going to get revenge because they disagree with you. Where do we learn that from? Donald Trump, how do you tell your children to have morals and to get along with people and always find the common ground and together, united, we stand, divided, we fall? Who taught us the opposite of that? Donald Trump. I didn't really mean to talk about him today, but I do have to every once in a while just point this out for the people that just think he's wonderful, man. Change your hat style. Put your hat on differently. Get rid of burn your hat. Then I got Bernie Sanders running for president, who's doing quite well. The big thing about him now is that they're saying that he really shouldn't be president because he had his honeymoon in Russia. He didn't get married in Russia. It's not that bad. He decided to go there on his honeymoon. The explanation is he had to go there anyway because, like, he's, you know, in politics and he does things for the country, so he had to go to Russia. So he brought his wife and figured, what the hell, go take her on a honeymoon in Russia. People do go to Russia, you know. Some people even go to Russian hotels and get themselves peed on by prostitutes. I think some people do that. Yeah, I know. It's a crazy world. Isn't it a crazy world that there are some people out there who actually get excited when people pee on their head in a sexual situation? It's interesting, isn't it? It's kind of scary, too. I don't know. You may be one of those person. I don't know. I don't have to be there. I don't know. It's just odd. It's just odd. And you don't have to claim that on the census. You certainly don't put that on your dating profile for your online dating app. You certainly don't. I like long walks on the beach and people peeing on my head in hotel rooms. Oh, you like that too? I know. There are strange people out there, my friends. Oh, yeah, they're out there. They're hovering around you. They're waiting for their opportunity. They are. I know.
He's got a mic and he's in a mood. Buckle up, Buttercup. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Lisa. Lisa Lillian joins us. She's the hungry girl. Welcome to the New England area.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. Well, it's always fun to talk to you because I'm always trying to lose weight perpetually, and I know for some females it's even tougher than it is for men, and we feel guilty about it and all that. And then you come along and you say, yeah, you know, be careful what you eat, but, you know, you can do some guilt-free stuff here. So it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people think of weight loss as daunting or scary, but yeah. I embrace it and I have fun with it.
Good, because we all want to be healthier and look better too. Actually, there's The Hungry Girl to the Max. It's the ultimate guilt-free cookbook by title alone. You got to love this.
Yeah.
And it's a gigantic book. My God, you could, like, if you sat on it on a chair, you'd be like 10 feet taller.
I know. I should carry it around with me because I'm only 5 feet tall. I should just stand on it at all times. But it is. It's almost like a... It can help you. You can lift weights with it. It's a very large book. Weights.
So it serves a multi-purpose.
Absolutely.
Okay. We know that July was a National Cheesecake Month, and when you say the word cheesecake, people go, oh, I wish I could have that, but it's probably not a good idea for me. But you say, nay, there's ways of doing that.
Yeah, Cheesecake Day was July 30th, yeah. And in celebration of a brand new amazing product that I partnered with, Fiber One Cheesecake Bars, they're turning in August into Cheesecake Month, so for the whole month we're celebrating cheesecake. And as you say, cheesecake is something that people tend to avoid if they're trying to lose weight, yeah. But these new bars are incredible. They have 150 calories, they have 5 grams of fiber, which is 20% of your daily fiber. Uh-huh. They come in salted caramel and strawberry, and they are so decadent and so delicious. You can take them on the go. Kids love them. They're a total cheesecake home run, and again, completely guilt-free.
And the good thing about these bars is that they kind of fill you up to the point where you don't feel like you have to have 10 of them.
Well, that, you know what? You hit a good point there. Portion control is key. Mm-hmm. And if somebody gives you a whole cake or puts a whole cake in front of you, you're more likely to either cut a piece that's too big or just eat two slices. But when you have a bar that's pre-portioned, chances are you're going to open the bar, finish the bar, and these are really satisfying. The added fiber actually helps keep you feeling full, so it's the perfect size.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I know that you write articles for Weight Watchers and people and all that, and I guess Weight Watchers' big thing is portion control.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And everybody tells you portion control, portion control. It's the number one message we hear. And you're right. I write articles for Weight Watchers and people, and I have my Hungry Girl daily emails. Yeah. But I try to give people the chance and the ability to eat large portions for the same amount of calories. So I like to supersize foods, and so that's also one of my specialties. So people feel satisfied, and they feel like they're eating a lot. It's just, it's all about eating, you know, the right things.
You know, it's smart because you were talking about a pie, and instead of using the graham cracker crust as a pie, just sprinkle a small portion of that. Don't do it as crust. Sprinkle the crumbs on top to taste like a crust. And I thought, that's ingenious. That really works.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I always call those upside-down pies.
Yeah.
So you don't need the whole crust. As you say, you just sprinkle some crumbs. You get the same flavors, and it's just as satisfying.
Wonderful. How did you get so involved in this and become the Hungry Girl?
Well, you know, I grew up with a yo-yo dieting mom, and I was always trying to lose weight and struggling with my weight like a lot of people, you know, from the time I was a teenager. And I became a little bit of a foodologist, is what I call myself, and I'm definitely a foodie, and I love to gossip about food. And I just, for whatever reason, I just became that person that people would call and say, hey, how did you make that coffee that had 30 calories? Or what's your favorite ice cream that you can find on shelves that don't have a lot of calories? And, you know, after gathering all that knowledge, I thought, well, why not share it with the rest of the world? And so I launched Hungry Girl back in 2004, and I'm happy I did.
Wonderful. That's the worst and most frustrating thing about diets is that you feel like you're in a box and you can't do this and you can't do that, and you actually get anxious about it because on one shoulder, the little person is saying, oh, you only live once. You're going to die someday. You might as well enjoy yourself. And on the other shoulder, it goes, yeah, but you want to be healthy and you really want to look good and it's good for you. You know, it's a struggle in that way.
You're right. It is a struggle. And so one of the things that I tell people is to never allow themselves to get overly hungry. So you always have to keep snacks with you at all times. So there's not too many hours that go by. The hungrier you are, the worse your choices are going to be. So you can get hungry, but once you're overly hungry, you're just going to eat whatever's in front of you. And that makes it harder to avoid that little voice.
There's 650 recipes in this book. And on the front page, almost half of them are desserts that look decadent, and I'm sure they taste decadent, but they're not.
Yeah, I mean, I try to give people what they want. So whether it's telling them what to find on shelves, you know, like the new cheesecake bars, or making things at home, I try to give people the ability to eat chocolate or eat whatever they think that they're not supposed to be eating when they're losing weight by swapping things out. Like, you know, one of my favorite things to do is just take a box of cake mix and add some pumpkin to it, and you bake that up, and you've got a guilt-free dessert. Or, you know, for the lazier people who don't feel like baking, just go to the store, and there's always good products that you can find right there on shelves that you can take with you. And I just like to give people options. I don't want people to feel restricted or scared or unhappy about watching what they're eating.
And that's exactly what happens, though. That's exactly the way you feel. At least you understand that. Is it more difficult for women to lose weight than it is for men?
I don't know that I can make a blanket statement like that. Yeah. In some ways, it might be, because women probably, especially as they get older, they're burning fewer calories. Usually, they're a little bit smaller and shorter, and they burn fewer calories. Yeah. But the good news is women like to plan more than men.
Yeah.
I know men are just like, if they're hungry, it's 4 o'clock. Even if they're eating dinner at 6, they're just going to eat a big sandwich or whatever's there. They don't like to think as much. Whereas, and again, this is just me saying from experience, the people that I know, like women are planners. They think about what they're going to eat for the whole day. And they gossip about it. They call their friends. They think about, you know, they pack their food a little bit more than men do. So in that way, it probably helps them, and it's probably a little easier.
Well, they seem to be a little more self-conscious about their appearance. And if there's a party, they'll be concerned about fitting into that dress that they want to wear. A guy would never say, oh, there's a party coming up. I want to fit into that suit. Yeah, you don't hear that. You don't hear that a lot.
That's true.
Okay.
No, that's true. You'd think it was a little bit weird if you did, but yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they stress about it in their own ways.
Yeah.
Well, right, Ron?
Right, Ron. Thank you. Hey, okay. All right. So we got a few places to go here. We can learn about the whole cheesecake thing, and we can learn about Fiber One, and we can learn about the Ultimate Guilt-Free Cookbook. So give us some places to go.
Yes, for more information on those new amazing bars and for a chance to win them, you can check out a sweepstakes and all the information that's on the Fiber One Facebook page, mm-hmm. So definitely check that out. And then for more information about Hungry Girl and to sign up for the daily emails, people can go to hungry-girl.com.
Wow, that's great. There you have it. Thank you so much for your time today. It is a wonderful book, and it's certainly your dollar's worth because, it's huge, and it's just got tons of ideas and recipes, and it breaks it all down for you, and it's done in a fun way as well, kind of almost like a comic book kind of look.
Thank you.
Yeah, and great pictures, too, and my goodness, if you have pictures of food, I'm there. I mean, you know, it's not as good as eating it, but it comes damn close.
Almost.
Lisa, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Happy Cheesecake Month.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been great again. I don't know how to thank you. I could put a gold star on your forehead, but you can't walk around like that. Unless it's Ash Wednesday. It's Ash Wednesday. Isn't there supposed to be an ash on your forehead? There's a gold star there instead. Oh yeah, that's like Ash Plus. That's like, not only do I put an ash on my forehead, I do a gold star. Because I'm that special in that religious context. Ooh. Are you a priest? Yeah, I'm a high priestess. That's what I am. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. I'll be back again tomorrow.